This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Consider what happens in a world without this deal. Without this deal, there is no scenario where the world joins us in sanctioning Iran until it completely dismantles its nuclear program. Nothing we know about the Iranian government suggests that it would simply capitulate under that kind of pressure. And the world would not support an effort to permanently sanction Iran into submission. Put simply, no deal means a greater chance of more war in the Middle East.
That was President Obama announcing the Iran deal back in July 2015. Let's talk about it now with the U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Nikki Haley. Thanks for joining us again this morning. In the wake of the President's decision to decertify, the German foreign minister yesterday said that he believes that decertifying the deal is going to put us closer on a path towards war, echoing President Obama's comments right there. How do you respond?
Well, I think, you know, Iran's not right now saying death to Germany. They're saying death to America. And I think that you have to look at the fact that this is not talking about the deal. This is talking about U.S. law. And what U.S. law says is every 90 days you have to reevaluate and see if it's still doing and still proportionate from where it's supposed to be. And when you look at their support of terrorism, when you look at the ballistic missile testing, when you look at all that they're doing with arms sales and things like that, they are not proportionate to what the concessions that we gave them. And it's something that we can make better.
But you've also had the president's military.
George Stephanopoulos doing the best he can to justify President Barack Obama then, and here we are today, and Nikki Haley, of course, supporting the administration's position on this. And, you know, this deal was a bad deal. President Trump noted this even during the campaign, that this was a lousy deal, and how it was justified, again, like so much that came out of the previous administration. It is a head-scratcher. And so the president says, look, we're going to bring it back into order the way it should be. It should have been something debated in Congress. They were the ones to get behind it. There should not have been anything that was exercised at an executive order level. But this has been part of the problem. And this is why so much of President Obama's legacy is being erased, is because it was by executive order. It didn't involve, you know, it was an absolute ignoring, a purposeful ignoring of the rule of law and separation of powers. This was a job for Congress to do. And so, yes, it's not that it's, you know, you're eradicating this certification. You are, in a sense, giving the opportunity of Congress to recertify it and to do it in a way that serves American interests. The way it's set up right now, it's questionable whether it does serve American interests and even the allies' interests. The challenge they're going to have is the allies who agreed with this agreement with Barack Obama. They loved it because it answered their need for income and for enterprise. And so they were happy to be doing business with Iran again. So that means money for them. So now how do you take that away, just like everything that seems to go along with the Obama administration? You know, as you know, he gave away a lot of stuff, but to what degree? I mean, the reason, again, we look at Obamacare and the mess that we're in right now, and it's because this president decided, and I say this president, Barack Obama, decided to sell our future out and to, in other words, kind of drug induce with some socialistic ideas, the voter politic, a percentage of them, and gave them all kinds of candy. And now we're in a situation of saying candy's not good for you. So this is not a new fight. This is the same old thing that happens, but this is the fight for the very heart and soul of this country if we're going to continue. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. We've got more coming up.
Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
6 minutes after the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. It is good to have our next guest back with us. It's been a while. I've been trying to reconnect with her, especially after all the things that happened in Garland, Texas, several years ago. She has become the target of an ISIS attack. Her brand new book, Fatwa, Hunted in America by Pamela Geller. And Pamela is with us right now. Welcome to Bill Martinez Live, Pam. Good to have you with us. How are you?
Thank you for having me, Bill. Fine, and you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. I got to tell you, I just have admired your fight for freedom and honesty and the truth, and you are one of the few that have been willing to put your life on the line for it.
Well, Bill, thank you, and you're one of the few that would, you know, will discuss it, this verboten subject. I don't think Americans are aware of the threat to our freedoms right here in the homeland. My book, Fatwa, and for those that are unfamiliar with that term, it is a ruling on a point of Islamic law given by a recognized authority. It is a death sentence by a recognized authority, and it is given when one violates Islamic law. And people are unaware that there are Americans living under a fatwa, a death threat here in America, simply for exercising their First Amendment rights. And your listeners who may be familiar with my work know that over the past 15 years, I've never discussed the personal aspects or any really personal aspect of my life, but I thought it was time to tell my story of how a New York City career girl went from, you know, loving her art, music, fashion, being apolitical. I lived in a post-historical mindset. The good cops were on the beat, and, you know, we had defeated evil in World War II. Going from that to being the country's most notorious, quote, racist, Islamophobic, anti-Muslim bigot, simply because I stood in defense of freedom. Of course, what changed me, my political awakening, was 9/11. Mm-hmm. I mean, up until that point, I had assumed my freedom, and I never questioned it. I never thought it could be in jeopardy. I had felt guilty on 9/11, watching that attack on the World Trade Center, a zip code all its own with, you know, during the day, 50,000 people there, and, of course, the Pentagon and the Capitol building, which was thwarted on Flight 93. And then I felt guilty when I found out who had attacked the country, that I didn't understand the ideology. Mm-hmm. I went about reading the Quran and the great scholars of Islam like Ibn Warq and Wafa Sultan and Bachayor. But I never imagined on September the 12th, 2001, that those standing in defense of freedom would be smeared, defamed, and libeled as quote-unquote racists. First of all, Islam is not a race. Secondly, this idea that the First Amendment has certain restrictions is absurd on its face, and that you can't draw a cartoon. Look, I didn't make the cartoon of Flashpoint. The jihadis did. Mm-hmm. And is that the low state of the freedom of speech that I am blamed when jihadis open fire on me? That, you know, it's like blaming the rape victim for wearing a skirt. Mm-hmm. And living under death threat is, even though Larry David has now made it the centerpiece of his show, Fatwa, and it's funny, mm-hmm. it's really, in real life, it's not funny. I mean, as we mm-hmm. speak, there's a trial going on in Boston, a beheading plot against me, where a devout Muslim group, had plotted to behead me. And when one of the jihadists was on his way to New York, he attacked a Boston cop, and he was killed, thankfully.
Yes.
But these are ongoing threats, and it's merely for exercising my First Amendment rights. And it's, again, I think Americans are woefully, painfully unaware that I am but a proxy in this terrible long war. What has happened to me is what happens in small and large ways to every American who stands for freedom.
Well, Pamela, this is, you know, to your point, this is happening on so many levels, whether it's the NFL, Harvey Weinstein. You know, it's like we're living the circle, but in a different part of the culture. Our First Amendment right is being challenged. And it's almost like we need to reconnect with what our First Amendment right really is.
Agreed. I mean, listen, the NFL, I mean, these guys, they can do whatever they want, wherever they want. But if they're working and they have a contract and the contract says X, Y, and Z and they agree to that contract, that's not freedom of speech. That's called breaking a contract mm-hmm. on the one hand. On the other hand, you know, I was invited to speak at Freedom of Speech Week, Free Speech Week at Berkeley 2 weeks ago. Needless to say, it was canceled. Mm-hmm. And what disturbed me more than anything, apart from the fact that myself, my colleagues no longer can speak on college campuses, we are not invited. It's a real blacklist, not a bogus blacklist that right. Hollywood likes to talk about. This is a very real blacklist where our ideas are verboten. I think because it's easier to smear and defame me and my colleagues, ad hominem attacks, than debate me. You know, in the intellectual war of ideas, I find that the left ideas cannot stand up to scrutiny or challenge, so they have to smear and defame us and make monsters of us. But what disturbed me the most in Berkeley was seeing hundreds, if not thousands, of young people marching against the freedom of speech. That's some scary stuff right there.
It really is, isn't it? Yeah.
Because, you know, the First Amendment protects all speech, not just ideas that we like, that's easy, but all ideas, and above all, political speech. Because who would decide what's good and what's forbidden?
Exactly.
The government?
Mm-hmm.
ISIS? Because that's what they're looking to do. Mm-hmm. And this idea that, you know, I was being provocative, just for knowing I was not being provocative in Garland, Texas. In the wake of the Charlie Hebdo slaughter, that bloodbath of mm-hmm. editorial staff, journalists, cartoonists, and writers, Muslim leaders in this country held a conference in Garland, Texas, just a couple days later, not in support of freedom of speech, which would have been really a beautiful historic moment, mm-hmm. but in support of the Sharia behind that slaughter, behind the bloodbath. And so I held an event in that same venue, in that same room, in support of the freedom of speech. It was an art exhibit of Muhammad through over the past 1,400 years, where Muhammad had been depicted in art and literature, Dante's Inferno, and people weren't being killed. Mm-hmm. To show that people are being slaughtered today in order to impose, by violent intimidation, the brutal blasphemy laws under the Sharia, under Islamic law. And it is here in America, and Americans have to wake up. This book, Fatwa, Hunted in America, will be a shock to some people. A, what I live under, and B, all of the work that I've done and what the fight that you have to go through. I mean, we tried to put up ads in New York and Washington, and we were refused. All the ads of truth, everything was vetted by the transit authorities. We were denied, we sued, we won. And then for the first time in history, the transit authority history in New York, all political ads were banned. And in Washington, D.C., all political bans. This is the Geller ban. In Miami, in Chicago, in San Francisco. Yeah, that's right. San Francisco, that mecca of liberalism.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think Americans understand that it's not whether free speech is under threat. It's whether we can get it back.
Exactly. Well, and who is doing this? Like you said, it's not necessarily, well, the government is compliant in it, no doubt about it, but it's all being spearheaded by a really small radical group at the end of the day, is it not?
Yes, it's the leftist Islamic alliance. It's a red-green alliance. I don't believe the jihadis could have gotten as far as they did, whether it's in the public schools, the teaching of the Shahada, the five pillars of Islam, the chapter on Muhammad. Look, there's no chapter on Jesus Christ. Mm. They're not teaching, the Lord's Prayer. They're not calling Jesus our Lord and Savior, but they are calling Muhammad the prophet. And, these inroads could never have been made without their handmaidens, their lapdogs on the left. And so it's this leftist Islamic alliance, this red-green alliance that threatens our basic freedoms on college campuses, in the workplace. The media is sure.
Pam, we got to go to break. We'll be right back, and we'll pick it up from there. Pam Geller on Bill Martinez Live. Stay with us.
Actual testimonials from real Numana customers.
I've tried all kinds of food storage, and Numana is by far the best.
I'm a single mom with two teenage boys and a full-time job. I don't always have time to cook a four-course meal. That's where Numana's been such a blessing. I can spend less time in the kitchen and more time on what matters most, like helping with homework.
Find out for yourself. Order online at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Numana is
the store I love to eat. Yum!
Thepowermall.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Are you a Catholic with traditional values, seeking traditional worship, but are fed up, angry, and disgusted by corruption in the church? If so, then consider Servants of the Holy Family, a community of priests and brothers who are fighting those who have infiltrated the church, intending to create a one-world government and one-world religion. Help and support this great cause. Visit servi.org, spelled S-E-R-V-I.org. Come to our Mass. Become a priest or brother now at servi.org.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Live.
Hey, it's the way you like me, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, conversation with Pamela Geller continues, author of the brand new book, Fatwa, Hunted in America. Pam, what is it like for you? I mean, here you were, as you described, apolitical. 9/11 happens. You become a student. You say, wait a minute, I'm ignorant of this. I need to find out what's going on. And you start digging in deeper and deeper, and you realize there's no compatibility. If anything, there's a great contrast between the liberty values of America and Sharia law and those that attacked us on 9/11.
Absolutely. And look, it's a journey. After 9/11, I saw Islam as I saw Buddhism, you know, Hinduism, mm-hmm. all religions. I really never thought about it in any particular terms. And the idea that there was this jihadic doctrine, you know, that call for the slaughter, the subjugation, the oppression of the other, you mm-hmm. know, was deeply shocking to the senses. And also disturbing was this, you know, whether it was by media or academia, this whitewashing, this censoring. I mean, the reason why I was driven online is because the media was really derelict in its duty in covering the motive. And, of course, now 15 years later, it's much bigger than that. I mean, they're literally censoring and scrubbing and whitewashing and tarring and feathering anyone that questions it or wants to discuss it. There is no conversation about this in the mainstream media. I mean, look, even with the Vegas attack, the fact of the matter is I've been doing this work a long time. It's all I do 24/7, 365, and I can tell you the Islamic State has never taken credit for an event that's not theirs.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean it's absolute proof, but I'm just telling you. And even in the past, for example, with the Egyptian jetliner in the Sinai, when they took credit for that and law enforcement and international, you know, authorities said that's not true, it wasn't them, you know, a couple weeks later they provided proof. They showed a photo of the bomb, and it was the Islamic State. And, of course, the West, with their tail between their legs, had to concede that. We've seen this time and time again. Even in the Philippines this past June, there was an attack at the Resorts World Casino mm-hmm. that ISIS took credit for. And then, no, the authorities said it was a robbery, even though nothing was stolen. And, of course, upon further investigation, it was sanctioned, if not directed, by the Islamic State. So here you have, in this country, an attack that, for the first time, they doubled and tripled down. Said he converted 6 months ago. We don't even know if he converted or not. I mean, law enforcement authorities won't even touch it. This is, I mean, in their willful and blindful denial, they're putting all of our lives at risk, and this is very dangerous. They say, well, this will change everything in our profiling. Well, then your profiling is wrong.
Exactly.
Because it's not a race. Islam is not a race, and it's not an age, and it's not about the color of your socks. It's ideological.
Exactly.
It's ideological, and converts are really the most sort of devout. New converts are the most devout, the most fanatical. It's almost as if the newbies in Twilight, if you ever read that book, they were super all in. And the idea that this is not even being discussed, instead, they'll use really nutty ideas like, well, you know, he took Valium. He took about, you know, over the past 18 months, he took about 20 Valium. Well, let me tell you something. If that's your bar, then three-quarters of America, okay,
exactly.
are terrorists. At this
right.
point, he would be in ruins. It's absurd, Bill.
Right. No, without a doubt. Well, and we're reading about, you and I talked about it off air, Janet Jackson, who thought it would be charming to be a wife of a Muslim man, and she found out that Sharia law is not, it's not very liberating for women.
No, she called it a prison. Mm-hmm. Now, here's a woman who really has no agenda, no political agenda. She went into this, you know, for all the right reasons, open heart, open, open mind, and she ran. And again, you know, the idea that feminists, and of course the hypocrisy is so huge. They are led by Linda Sarsour. They choose Linda Sarsour, mm-hmm. a Sharia advocate who calls for Ayaan Hirsi Ali, a brave former Muslim who suffered female genital mutilation, to have her ass whooped because of what she says about Sharia, who advocates for the Sharia that they impose in Saudi Arabia, who is a vicious Jew hater, okay? This is the leader of the feminist movement. These same women who were up there with their pussy hats on, okay, were putting out for Harvey Weinstein, and they're going to tell us about women's rights.
Yes,
they're going to tell us about hypocrisy because of a conversation that Donald Trump had in the back of a bus, two alpha males, okay? I mean, the whole thing is absurd on its face. And anyway, this feminism is a phony movement based in Lenin Marxist dogma. But the feminists, this is the issue. This is the issue, you know, the subjugation and oppression of women under, you know, Islamic law in Muslim countries. They have nothing to say. The fact that it's four male witnesses for a rape victim to press charges. And many times rape victims are put in jail for, you know, having sex outside of marriage or premarital sex. The only way they can right the wrong is to marry their rapist. Nothing. You never hear about this. And many of your listeners may be saying, what? Is this woman kidding? No, I'm not kidding. This is deadly serious. This is what's going on. Again, this is what the media will not discuss, will not report. They'll say, she's anti-Muslim, meaning me. When in fact, I do what I do because I love people. And they don't talk about the fact that the work that I do with Muslim girls in this country, in America, who don't want to wear the hijab, who live under penalty of death and violence from their families because they live in devout households, that say you have to. And girls like Amina and Sarah Saeed and Noor al-Maliki, Aja Hassan, these are girls, women who are honor killed in this country. Nobody speaks for them. We must give voice to the voiceless. We get these girls to safe houses. No one talks about that. And you certainly don't hear about their plight in the mainstream media. The American people are being disarmed in the information battle space. They are being disarmed in the war of ideas. All the bullets and the bombs and the bloodshed and the death threats comes as a result of what happens in this war. Yeah. I am but a proxy in this war. I understand that. But what happens to me happens in large and small ways to every American who stands for freedom. That's why people need to read this book. You know why? There's a fatwa on your head, too. You just don't even know
exactly. It. Exactly. Well, you know, like Nikki Haley said, you know, these very same people are the ones that say death to America. And we just, you know, it just like goes right by us and we ignore it. Because, you know, we can't talk that way. We can't even think that way. So thought is even being stifled in this whole process that is keeping us ignorant and exactly where they want us to be, Pam.
Well, this is all under the guise. This is the left. This is the left in the cloaking of hate speech. What hate speech means to them is speech that they don't want to hear and speech they don't want anyone else to hear. I mean, they will not debate me. They will not debate in the war of ideas. Their ideas cannot stand up to challenge. Their ideas cannot stand up to scrutiny, which is why we're not welcome. My colleagues and I are not welcome on college campuses. This idea that Nazism is a threat, that's just absurd. Nazism was defeated. Are there a couple of skinheads here and there? Yeah. So what? Yeah. Who cares? Yeah. Who bigified them? Who makes them? The media. The media creates this boogeyman. But when it comes to jihad terror, they hear no evil, they speak no evil, they see no evil. I report on my website, Geller Report. It's a news site, updated 15, 20 times a day. On the news, the media won't cover all of the jihad attacks in Europe. I mean, Europe is literally sinking under the weight of this mass Muslim immigration. And the idea that Donald Trump wants to spare us this jihad terror, he is vilified and demonized for. And it does bother me that there are Muslim marches planned against his jihad restriction ban. I'd like to see Muslim marches against jihad terror. I would like to see these Muslim marches against female genital mutilation, which is rooted in Islamic text and teaching. I'd like to see, you know, honor killings protested by the Muslim community. That's what I would really like to see.
You and me both.
Right. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't believe that every Muslim wants to kill me. I don't have to pat on the back every Muslim that doesn't want to kill me. I expect that. That's my bar.
Exactly.
But there is a problem in the jihadic doctrine.
Well, we've got to leave it there. Again, Pamela Geller, author of the new smash hit Fatwa, Hunted in America, available at the usual places. It'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. And check out her website again, Pam. That website is?
GellerReport.com. And you can get the book at FatwaBook.org. Get the book. Get it for a liberal neighbor. We need an army of Davids in this war. And we're approaching a tipping point, and it's not...
anybody of any age who takes any prescription medications. How would you like to save up to 85% on almost every prescription drug you're currently buying at your local pharmacy? We're talking about saving you real money on most of the top prescription drugs. Up to 85% savings. Asthma medications, you can save up to 85%. High cholesterol and high blood pressure meds, save up to 85%. And many, many more. This is not a hard-to-use discount card. These are real savings on prescription meds delivered to your door in days. We have expert prescription consultants to help you right now. It's a free service. So call now and learn how you can save up to 85% on most prescription drugs.
Call now, 800-362-9337, 800-362-9337, 800-362-9337. That's 800-362-9337.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
NSA free to Bill at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, we welcome those emails. By the way, drop me an email. Tell me you want a pair of tickets. I'm giving away a free pair of tickets. We're doing this all morning long, so thanks for joining us. To the movie, True Story, Mitch Davis has written, and he's produced and directed it, called The Stray. And I got a pair of tickets for you. Just drop me an email. And make sure you include your address and everything. Actually, we can do this electronically. So send me an email, Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. Be happy to get those tickets for you. You can enjoy the movie on us, all right? 28 minutes before the top of the hour, Allie Nielsen joins us right now, staff writer, research analyst for MRC Business. Allie, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Boy, I'll tell you, the drama that is Harvey Weinstein continues, not only just the money that he put out. His daughter now says he's suicidal. Harvey Levin is kind of trying to keep an eye on him as well. Supposedly he was going to Europe for therapy. He may be somewhere in Arizona. God only knows, but what a mess after all these allegations that came out as a result, finally, of a New York Times article, several days ago, last week, actually. And, this is something that Hollywood knew for a long time. I mean, this has been going on for decades. And, I'll tell you, it's a mad scramble for cover for all those that had an idea and even had direct contact with Harvey and the mess that he was creating in Hollywood.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And like you said, just more and more information keeps coming out. First, there was the New York Times article that said, okay, 30 years of sexual harassment. And then there was the New Yorker that was like, no, it goes further. It goes to actual abuse. And all of this information coming in and, so many people saying, oh, we had no idea. We're so surprised. Mm. But, his his people that he donated to, especially, you know, Democrat candidates, saying, oh, we're going to take the donations he gave to us and we're going to give them to charity because this is unacceptable. Like, you know, I look at that and I think this is too little too late because, you know, all of these allegations may not have been public knowledge until now, but there were serious hints back in 2015, all the way back to 2009, you know, when he was defending Roman Polanski, who is a convicted child rapist, you know, saying this is no way to treat a man. You know, he's a great creative person, all this stuff. Or, you know, in 2015, when he was questioned for, you know, harassing a woman by the police. These are stories on the internet that you can find pretty easily. Right. And donors were still taking his money after that.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the thing, the scary part about power and money. And Harvey Weinstein wielded it, and he used it against everybody, including the media. You know, the media knew that if they printed the story, you know, and NBC, which had their hands on the story initially, and then came out with some sort of, you know, flaky, weak response as to why they didn't, I'm sure Harvey Weinstein gave him a call and said, how many millions of dollars do I spend with you guys? I mean, they were looking at a serious loss there and decided that for the money that he gave to them and other media types as well, it was better for them to remain silent. And now here it is years later, decades later, and really they've become complicit in this whole scandal, haven't they?
They really are. And, you know, it wasn't just NBC. You know, there were other outlets, even back in 2004, mm-hmm. who, you know, didn't have maybe the wealth of information, but they still had a story. And Weinstein called them up and basically bullied them into not publishing it. And not only that, you know, he was going after the individual women, too. Mm-hmm. You know, the ones who did end up refusing him or saying, no, I don't, you know, I don't want to be a part of this. I don't want to do this. Then you had salacious news stories coming out from them, you know, about them in gossip magazines. And that's a whole nother level of media complicity, you know, not just covering up the story, but then, you know, you have gossip magazines or whatever, pretty much helping him destroy those women, which is completely and utterly disgusting. And that's the problem when you have someone who has so much power. That as one person, especially, you know, a young woman trying to make, you know, her career break, she doesn't have the power to take him down. Yeah. And, you know, it's just disgusting to me. Like when I was a little girl, I wanted to be an actress. I think probably every girl goes through that, and probably a lot of boys too. You know, you see people.
Let me say this, Allie, if I can cut you off. As much as every girl and every boy would want to be in Hollywood, every father, every parent was going, oh God, please let them do something else. I don't want my daughter exposed to the casting couch. I mean, everybody knows that's part and parcel of the experience.
Yeah, no, they do. And then, you know, you have those people who do actually make it there. They stick to that dream and they get there. And then that's what they're faced with is, oh, you want your big movie break? Do me this favor.
That's right.
And then suddenly, you know, it's taking this dream they've had and just turning it into a nightmare. And it's horrible. And it's horrible that the media backed that up, that politicians didn't call it out, kept taking these donations. It's a whole web of just utter horribleness is really what it is.
And I don't know how deep, you know, America is ready to, you know, deal with this. I mean, there's been reports, you know, we talk about young girls, and there's been reports of young boys, suicides of young boys, actors who have been abused at the hands of powerful people in Hollywood. You know, stories of, you know, Hugh Hefner, who just passed away, parties at the Playboy Mansion. These young boys would go, and there you go, and this see this magnificent facility, and it's all sex, drugs, rock and roll and tape recordings, and these kids are being it's being held against them, and they're controlled throughout their you know, their careers. And just like you said, you know, and it all started with the dream to want to be on the big screen.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, this isn't even a new problem. It's not even that Weinstein is this, you know, new thing that's never happened in Hollywood. This goes back to at least the 20s, you know, and it probably goes back even further in theater, where, you know, the big, powerful producers, directors, whatever, use their position to abuse people. Mm. It's systemic, and yet Hollywood will stand up and act like they have a moral authority when it comes to, you know, public policy or politics or whatever. And yet they are just as corrupt. And, you know, not every single person in Hollywood, but like you said, it's known that this is what happens. And so for them to turn around and act like they have a moral authority when this is what they let happen behind closed doors is hypocrisy.
And you're going to tell me that Hillary,
and it's horrible.
And you're going to tell me Hillary Clinton, who's been around this, you know, her adult life, she's not going to see the signs of this. She's going to claim some sort of ignorance about a guy like Harvey Weinstein. I mean, that doesn't make sense to me.
And then it took her 5 days to say something about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, honey, you knew about this. Like, you knew about things years ago. Don't give me any of this baloney.
Right. And then she talks about giving the money back. And I like in the context in which she said this, she goes, well, I give 10% and that will be part of my 10%. Well, no, 10% is that's a side. You know, that's from what you do. You're not putting, what about all the money, whatever all that represents, whatever went to the Clinton Foundation and her, and, of course, the way some of this money has been broken up, it's all very suspicious and convenient and categorized as to how much was given out here. But the DNC, I mean, Harvey Weinstein, I mean, you're talking, what, 719,000. I mean, you're talking a lot of money that he has given to Democratic causes here, right?
Yeah, no, 719,382 to be specific, since 1990.
Right.
And then 67, almost 68,000 of that was after 2015, after all those 2015 allegations came out. So, you know, he's given all this money over a long period of time, and then, you know, donors are like Hillary Clinton, for example, are still taking donations after these allegations came out.
Yeah, without
and,
a doubt.
You know, we're, you know, this is, you know, people like Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Chuck Schumer, you know, these big name Democrats, not to mention the DNC, like you brought up, all taking money from him.
Exactly.
All accepting that.
Well, Allie, we got to leave it right there. Again, thank you for the article. Great writing here. Allie is a staff writer and research analyst for MRC Business. Allie Nielsen, I'm Bill Martinez Live.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. Call now. That's 800-540-8816.
Hey there, did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park, or the beach, or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hi, I'm Craig Sammet, Chief Clinical Officer from Anthem. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time, but some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why the Anthem Foundation supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.
Values, faith, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Martinez, our next guest is back with us to teach us more about self-leadership and the one-minute manager. You know, for decades, millions of managers in Fortune 500 companies and small businesses around the world have followed Ken Blanchard's management methods to increase productivity, job satisfaction, and personal prosperity. Now, this newly revised edition of Self-Leadership and the One-Minute Manager, Gain the Mindset and Skill Set for Getting What You Need to Succeed, empowers people at every level of an organization to achieve success. Ken Blanchard, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir? Okay, I guess maybe he's probably, you know, the thing is about Ken Blanchard, he's so compelling that once you have him, you don't want to let him go. So, and he's going from one interview after another, and such as live radio here. But Ken, as I said in the opening, is revised the one-minute manager self-leadership course with Susan Fowler and Lawrence Hawkins. So we're looking forward to his explanation and highlights when he joins us here. Now, self-leadership and the one-minute manager is about empowerment. It is something that it gives you, as Ken writes, self-leadership is what you do to make it work. And I'm sure that part of what has happened in terms of the focus of self-leadership is we're realizing that there's a lot to be said about self-leadership and self-responsibility these days. That seems to be the vacancy that exists in business today, is that people are looking to, CYA, you know, cover their back ends and not take the responsibility that is required. And when you do that and you want to turn that over to somebody else, there is something lost along the process. Well, Ken Blanchard joins us now. I was just saying to everybody, Ken, that you're in such demand that when people got a hold of you, they don't want to let you go.
Well, it's really kind of fun. Life is a very special occasion. I don't want to miss much of it.
No, hey, I understand. Well, Self-Leadership, the new book, and The One-Minute Manager, this is an updated book in a sense, and a focus on self-leadership, because I believe it has something to do with self-responsibility, does it not?
Yes, it really is all about, you know, setting priorities, taking initiative, and solving problems independently, you know. And the old command and control model of leadership just doesn't work today, you know, because a lot of people, because of technology, are, you know, working remotely, you know, and mm-hmm. because of the rapid changes, a lot of times the people working around you know more about things than you do. And I think today's workforce, particularly millennials, they want a collaborative workplace. They don't want one where somebody thinks they got all the answers. They want to bring their brains to work. And so it's really exciting. And I think today's leading organizations really have discovered that empowered self-leaders are the key to organizational success. And so I'm excited about being part of that movement.
Well, you know, and I think, that, as you mentioned, Ken, successful businesses in the past have realized, even by happenstance, that if you've got a lot of brains in the room, why not utilize them? And when they do open up the environment to get more people involved in the project, you know, as the Bible says, with many counselors comes success. You know, so here it is, another one of those axioms that's proven in everyday life.
Yes, we say none of us is as smart as all of us, you know.
Yeah, I like that,
and
yes.
So that's really true, you know. And one of the things that research is showing is that the key to recreating a great, empowered, you know, engaged culture is for people to ask for help and feel that they can do that, you know. Mm. Brené Brown talks about vulnerability rather than the weakness. It's really a strength to be able to say, you know, I don't know all the answers here. You know, I could really use some help.
And you know, asking for what you need. And you know what, Ken, and to that point, the fact of the matter is whether or not you want to admit to a vulnerability or needing help, people in the room know that anyway. You know, when I was leading a group of salespeople, I said, look, you're not hiding anything from anybody. The challenge is, can we match up strengths and weaknesses so we can leverage each other more effectively? And when we were able to do that, boy, I'll tell you, we had 5 winning seasons.
Yes, and they're finding, you know, with this whole strength finder, it's much more important for you to build on your strengths than your weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
The way
yeah.
to cover your weaknesses is to gather people around you that are good at things that you aren't good at.
That's right.
You can help them with things that they aren't good at. That's that 1 + 1 = 2.
Well, in this book, you chose to kind of use a business parable this time around. Why did you do that?
Well, you know, I started writing parables with Spencer Johnson when we wrote The One-Minute Manager. Mm-hmm. And we find that people learn so much better when they get in the middle of a story, you know, rather than hearing some lecture and all, you know. I mean, who was the greatest storyteller of all time? It was Jesus.
Yeah,
people
yeah.
ask him something, say, let me tell you this story, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he would make his points in stories. And so I've been writing basically parables ever since, because I think people really get caught up and get excited about the story.
Ken, in your findings, it seems like you're discovering self-leadership has really come to the forefront here. It is critical in today's workplace. Why is that?
Well, it's just that the whole workplace has changed, you know. In the past, you know, managers, they were considered the brightest bulb in town, and they made all the decisions and oversaw people's tasks, telling people what, when, and where, and how to do things. But that just isn't true, you know. I mean, I tell you, all the people at the top, they're all groping too, because they need everybody gathered around them, because they don't have all the answers. The world's too complicated today. And so I think that's where self-leadership is just coming to the fore. And it's not a something that's a rare ability reserved only for the Mark Zuckerbergs or the Oprah Winfreys. It's a mindset and a skill set that can be taught.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, if you have the environment where that kind of freedom can excel, it's pretty incredible, because now you have specialists for each particular discipline of an organization chiming in. Because as we know today, the managers, there's so much paperwork, and it's kind of a generalist position. So you really need to be surrounded by these people that really can go deep on these particular disciplines, don't you?
Absolutely. You know, you need to gather these people around you, because that's what makes a team. And so that, you know, it's really interesting in the word team, mm-hmm. no I in it, you know.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, people say, well, you know, leading yourself, is it possible? You know, will most people rise to the challenge of leading themselves? And that's why I mentioned early on that it seems that self-leadership and self-responsibility go hand in hand.
Yes, and I think when people start to realize that their success is going to be that, then they're going to want to learn. And so, you know, we teach, several skills. One of them is to challenge and assume constraints. You know, what are some things that people have told you, you know, you'll get a kick out of? I was told by professors that I couldn't write. You know, if I wanted to be at the university, I should be an administrator. And then when I finally got an opportunity, a guy asked me to write a textbook with him. Mm-hmm. I, rather than saying I can't write because they told me, I said, let's give it a go.
Yeah, why not?
Now in its 10th edition, it sells more today than it did in the 60s, you know.
Wow.
And so I, of course, sent a copy to those idiot professors.
But, well, you know, the history is rich of, papers that didn't get the proper grade, and people have gone on and become millionaires because of a thesis or an end-of-year project that they've written, right?
Yes, it really is. And just recognize that don't limit yourself by things. You know, assume constraint is really all about a belief based on past experience, which limits new experiences, you know.
Exactly.
Imagine if Stephen Hawking, when he realized that he was physically disabled, he said, God, I can't do much and all. And what did he do? He rose up to be one of the great physicists in the world. You know, he just overcame any kind of assumed constraint.
Well, Ken, in your book, you mentioned activate your points of power. What do you mean by that?
Well, a lot of times people think there's only one power position, and that's position power. And they think, well, my boss has it and I don't. But what you need to realize is that there's a whole variety of powers. One of them is personal power, you know. And if you want to impact your boss, you got to first develop a relationship. I worked for a dean one time who wrote a lot about collaboration, but he wasn't very collaborative. And faculty members who didn't have a relationship with going in and tell him what he was doing wrong, and he'd throw him out of the office. And I learned early, and this is a great quote, you need to connect before you correct. I knew the guy was a great writer, and I said, would you help me with some papers I'm working on? Oh, sure. And I went to his office. We had the flip charts and all. Finally, after a couple of meetings, he said to me, Ken, what do you think we should do with all the jerks in this school? And the key word was, what should we do? Because I had some personal power with him. And so you also can build up your knowledge power, because you know stuff that other people doesn't. And task power, you might know how to do things that other people can't do. So look at all the different ways that you can gain. All power is the capacity to help you be a positive influence in your environment.
Without a doubt. And the third point, we're out of time, so this is why you need to get your hands on the book, too, is you can be proactive and get what you need to succeed. Ken Blanchard, number one New York Times bestselling author, has been with us. His brand new book, Self-Leadership and the 1 Minute Manager, will be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Ken, as always, honored to have you on with us. Appreciate it. Thank you.
And you can go to KenBlanchardBooks.com.
Take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at 855-510-BACK. for a no-cost MRI review and to learn more. It's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-510-BACK to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-510-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.